In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart in call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 137. 137, that is. And today, solo hosting John Senecal, Brian Shackman, the normal co-host, is out doing extracurricular activities. Actually, he's raising money for a good cause. It is the holiday season, after all. The holiday season. We are going to talk a little bit of Yankees, obviously. We're going to talk Red Sox, if there's anything to talk about. They ain't doing nothing. But what we need to start with, obviously, is Christmas has come early to Hollywood. I mean, since we've last talked, Shohei Ohtani, $700 million. And now, just now, Yamamoto, 10 years, $325 million. Now, that may sound crazy to most people because obviously he hasn't pitched in the MLB, but he's proven in Japan. He's pitched on the big stage, the WBC. He's won in Japan. He's 25 years old. He's going to be playing with Shohei. He's going to be playing in Dodger Stadium for at least 81 games, hopefully, I guess, for them in the postseason. But the big question is, can he handle it? Can he handle it? As a Yankee fan, like this morning, when I told my son, he's like, well, Yamamoto's cheeks anyways. And cheeks means he sucks. Well, we all know he doesn't suck, but Yankee fans are going to say that, right? But if he was a Yankee, as he was a Yankee, we'd be going crazy right now. We'd be saying, you know, he's going to slot right behind Garrett Cole and he's going to be blah, blah, blah. But he's not. He's a Dodger. So the question is, will he be able to perform? He's going to be their ace. I mean, let's be honest. He's going to be their ace. Shohei's not going to pitch, supposedly. Until 2025. We'll see. Obviously, that will probably change if they are going to make the postseason. Next thing you know, Shohei's available for the postseason. Shocker. He's pitching. Anyways, that's to be determined. But back to Yamamoto. Can he handle it? TBD. It is major leagues, right? It's MLB hitters. He did it in the WBC, but that's a very small sample size. Very, 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 very small sample size. And listen, If you've known anything about how Major League Baseball has worked in the last, 10 years, definitely, last five for sure, they figure you out real quick. The other teams figure you out real quick. And obviously, yes, they will figure him out. But he's 25. He has the tools. And I think he wants the big stage. I mean, listen, he obviously played the New Yorks against each other and drove up his price. $325 million. $50 million signing bonus, $50 million posting fee, no deferred money for someone who has never pitched one inning in Major League Baseball is insane, right? It's obviously insane. So the Dodgers are betting big on this guy. They're going to make a boatload of money off the endorsements. We all know that. The money's not deferred, so they're paying him. He's gonna take a hit, all the money on their, let's call it the luxury tax or competitive balance tax or whatever you want to call it. TBD. I don't necessarily think that the Dodgers rotation is elite. Yes, they did get Tyler Glasnow in trade. They signed him to an extension, but listen, Tyler Glasnow has not pitched a lot of innings. He's not a proven workhorse, so they're going to count on Yamamoto to be that workhorse. Clayton Kershaw, I mean, technically he's still a free agent, but I mean, I guess obviously he's coming back to the Dodgers, but he's probably not going to pitch until July, I would think. And then you got, Bobby Miller as another rookie. it's, you know, Walker Buehler is coming back off of Tommy John. I mean, he's relatively young still. He's not 30, but coming back from Tommy John. So a lot of question marks for the Dodgers in their rotation. I mean, they got Lance Lynn, I believe. Yeah. So, I mean, he's what, 37, 38. I mean, he's going to throw some innings, but he's going to give up a ton of home runs. And the Dodgers are going to have to hit. They're going to have to hit. And honestly, I still think probably the Diamondbacks have the best rotation in the NL West. So that being said, a lot of pressure on Yamamoto. Can he handle it? I mean, Japan is not a big travel for teams. I mean, most of it's by train. I think there might be like one flight they have to take, but it's not East Coast, West Coast stuff. Like, he's going to have to come acclimate here. I'm sure Shohei will take a lot of pressure off with the media thing, but I'm sure it's going to be the whole, you know, we're playing together hype. They're going to, he's going to demand a lot of attention. So let's see if he can handle it. The other big news since we talked last is Juan Soto's to the Yankees. I mean, what else can you say? I mean, as a Yankee fan, ecstatic, absolutely ecstatic that he's coming to the Yankees, that he's going to be playing for the Yankees. The one big question is, will he play for the Yankees in 2025? Scott Boras is his agent. He said he's not going to be signing any sort of extension. So I guess, you know, the Yankees have to sell him on the experience, and let's hope he does good and the fans embrace him, because if he's not doing good and the fans are going to let him know it, and I'm guarantee he's not going to want to come back. But that being said, listen, Juan Soto is elite. All right. Let's just cut to the chase. His numbers are ridiculous. If you look at his career numbers, yes, he did bat low for his standards last year, sub 300. But on base percentage high, OPS high. I mean, the guy gets on base. He doesn't strike out. He can hit. Will he get crazy and try to pull the ball at Yankee Stadium? I don't think so, because he's always been that kind of hitter that can hit the ball wherever he wants. He's like Shohei. He hits the ball all over the place. He's left-handed bat, like Freddie Freeman, doesn't strike out, good plate discipline, and he hits the ball all over the park. So he has to stick to what works for him and what has worked for him at Yankee Stadium. And by all accounts, he'll be hitting, I guess I would think, in front of Aaron Judge. Yeah, and then that goes to question who's hitting behind Aaron Judge. So goes the Yankees, right? If Soto's hitting in front of Judge, obviously he's going to see pitches. But if nobody's hitting behind Judge, a la Rizzo, Stanton, I don't know, maybe Glaber. I mean, if they're talking about Glaber hitting fourth, I don't know. I mean, it's, you know how I feel about Stanton. Stanton's a huge question mark. I mean, he's going to be great for like 20 games probably. And that's not going to be 20 games straight. It's going to be 5 games here or 3 games there. Or listen, you know what Cashman said, he's going to go on the IL. He's definitely going to go on the IL at some point, and he's going to hurt you. He's going to hurt you, and the Yankees need someone to hit behind Aaron Judge, period. Period. It's just how it works. Listen, in 2023, the Yankees had garbage overall team average. It was like, what, like low 200s, 215, 218, something like that. Yes, Aaron Judge wasn't there the whole season, but listen, when he was there, he wasn't bringing it up by himself, because he just barely batted, what, 270-something. They need protection with Judge. They're going to have to figure that out. Hopefully someone steps up. You know, we talked about Verdugo. Verdugo's great. I think, you know, the one thing about Verdugo you like is that he posts, he plays, and you still got to wonder why the Red Sox got rid of one of their only draws. I mean, yeah, is he the big flashy name like Devers is for the big, you know, free agent that, you know, he could have been, but he didn't, he signed with the Red Sox? No. But it is Alex Verdugo. He brings some life. So, I mean, maybe he'll bring some life to the Yankees, too, and jazz them up a little bit. You know, he's already shaved his beard. He says he's ready to go. His mom likes the way he looks. So only time will tell. I'm excited about it. He gets on base. And like I said, he posts. That being said, Yankees miss out on Yamamoto. And the Red Sox miss out on Yamamoto. I mean, come on. Seriously, Red Sox. Are you going to do anything? I mean, anything. You know, if Brian was here right now, he'd go into this big, you know, thing about, oh, you know, that's why I gave up buy my tickets this year. And he's right. He's right. Brian's right. What is there? What is the draw in Boston? What is the draw in Boston? If there was one team that should have been pressing, I mean, not just one, but I mean, one of the couple teams, you know, like Boston, San Francisco, Chicago, those teams need a pitcher like Yamamoto. The Boston Red Sox have nobody in their starting rotation. You could say what you want about the young guy or, you know, and then Sale's not going to do anything. All right. Sale is not going to be a factor. What is he going to do? He's going to throw maybe 50 innings before he gets hurt, if he's lucky. I mean, that's just it. He's like your Stanton. He's your Stanton, but he's the pitcher. You can't count on him. You're not going to be able to count on anybody in that rotation. There's nothing to like. I'm sorry. I'm not just saying this as a biased Yankees fan. There's nothing to like about the Red Sox. There's nothing to like about the Red Sox next year. And you know what? They finished what? Last in the division, last 2 out of 3 years, and they're probably going to finish last in the division again. On paper, they should. Let's hope the Yankees aren't battling them out for the basement this year. But, you know, the Yankees got to get their rotation together too, because listen, they miss out on Yamamoto. Say what you want about their rotation. Yes, they do have the reigning AL Cy Young Award winner. And you know, that being said, Blake Snell won in the NL. Blake Snell, I mean, say what you want about his walks and everything. He's not the Flash, all right? Gerrit Cole was the best pitcher in baseball last year. All right. So he comes back this year. He posts. He stays healthy. It all counts on Rondon. And listen, Nasty Nestor has to catch more flack. He didn't pitch enough last year. He didn't post. He needs to be a factor. So listen, if the Yankees rotation stays healthy, Cole, Rondon, Cortez, Schmidt, and now this is where you miss Michael King. This is where you miss Michael King, and then you traded him for Soto. All right. So you got to make up for King. And who's going to step up for King? I don't know. Who knows? Are the Yankees going to go out there? Are they going to trade for Corbin Burns? Dylan Cease? I don't know. I mean, listen, if the Yankees can pull off a trade with Corbin Burns, that would be awesome. But again, here's another guy that's going to go to free agency. He said he's going to go to free agency. Now, he said that, but that might change his mind if he winds up going to New York, right? But again, do you want two players on your team that you're going to, like, you just dumped a bunch of players for Soto, one of them being your best answer for your fifth guy in the rotation, who probably would have been your fourth guy, probably maybe second or third, depending on how Rondon and Cortez are doing. You just gave up him, and you gave up Drew Thorpe. How much more pitching can you give up? And that's not even being said, the other guys that were given up in that trade, right? So you know that, I mean, Milwaukee's not going to trade Corbin Burns and not want pitching in return, right? And then they're going to want somebody that's going to be able to hit. And you got rid of Trey Sweeney. He's one of your marquee guys. Yes, you got some major league talent with the Cabreras that you could get rid of. But, you know, it's risky. It's really, really risky. And it's going to be interesting to see what the Yankees do, because as much as the Soto trade sparks up the Yankees, as much as it is the Yamamoto and Shohei sparks up the Dodgers, there's still a lot of questions in the starting rotation. Once you get past Gerrit Cole with the Yankees, you've got a lot of question marks. And I'm not going to cast anything at Clark Schmidt, because Clark Schmidt did his part last year. It comes down to Rondon and Cortez. The two lefties got to get their act together. They got to get their act together. It's simple as that. If they're healthy and they pitched 80% of what they should pitch normally, the Yankees should be in good shape. They got to throw innings, though. Now, the Dodgers, they're not going to be in good shape, because those guys have not proven that they're going to be able to throw a lot of innings, so the bullpen's going to be taxed, and Yamamoto obviously is going to be counted on to throw a lot. So Christmas has come early to Dodger Town, and it's wait to see what happens with the next guys. I mean, listen, they got Blake Snell is left, Montgomery. I mean, I guess I'm thinking the Yankees are probably going to wind up bringing Montgomery back. But again, Montgomery is going to want a deal like Tyler Glasnow got. Tyler Glasnow hasn't thrown more than 120 innings ever in his career. Right? And he just signed like a 5-year, $125 million contract. You don't think Jordan Montgomery is not going to want 5 years and $125 million? I mean, that's not even taking into account the contract that Yamamoto just got, right? That guy hasn't even pitched yet. Hasn't even pitched. At least Glasnow has pitched in the MLB and has proven that his stuff works. So I'm thinking $200 million. Gotta be close to $200 million is what Montgomery's looking at. And Snell, of course, coming off of Cy Young, I'm staying away from him, though. I'm definitely staying away from him. But, I mean, the Yankees have got to have to do something because too much question marks going in to next season with the way Rondon performed last year. And even when he came back and he looked healthy, he's just too inconsistent, way too inconsistent. And Nasty Nestor, I mean, you say he's nasty, but listen, he had arguably just one pretty good season with the Yankees, and that was two seasons ago. So TBD, right? TBD on that. Yeah, Red Sox need to wake up and do something. And I don't know, maybe they're going to go after Montgomery. Maybe they're going to trade for Burns. I don't know what they got in their minor league system. I mean, no one ever really talks about the Red Sox minor league system. You know, everyone always talks about the Dodgers minor league system. They don't really talk about the Red Sox minor league system. You know, what's kind of weird is the Red Sox, well, it's not weird. It's kind of actually crazy. The Red Sox trade Mookie Betts to the Dodgers and get Jeter Downs. Jeter Downs doesn't make it with the Red Sox. He gets released or whatever, winds up on the Nationals, and then he gets released. And now he's been picked up by the Yankees in a minor league deal. So that's the Yankees now have a guy who's been named after one of the arguably the best players in Yankee history, or one of the most likable players in Yankee history, however you want to argue it with his stats, or clutch players, obviously, is now going to be a Yankee, or at least part of the organization, and see what he can do. But listen, he's been hyped for a while, so I don't know. I don't really see it. But he gets reunited with Alex Verdugo in for spring training, at least. So TBD on that one, too. Shohei, $700 million in the new year. Dodgers, in three players, just over $1.1 billion they have committed over the next 20 years, when you think about it, because the Dodgers, you know, obviously the Shohei contract was deferred. You know, you can say what you want. He's making $2 million a year for the next 10 years on paper, but he takes a $46 million hit basically on the competitive balance tax. So it does hurt the Dodgers overall when it comes to how they're going to have to spend money. And listen, when they have to go cough up that $68 million for the next 10 years, in whatever, 2034, good luck with that. When everybody else is making, mediocre players are making $25 million a year. Good luck fielding a roster with that. You know, these teams that are choking out all this money, you know, say what you want about you know, this Bobby Bonilla contract. Oh, he's making $1.9 million a year or whatever. You know, he's probably only got like 5 or 6 more years left on that. But, you know, he got like a 20-year deferred contract or whatever that was. You know, these $1.9 million a year is peanuts now. You mean to tell me that in 10 years from now, that $68 million a year is going to be peanuts? I don't know, man. If we're living in a society where 10 years from now, $68 million is peanuts, then we got some problems. I mean, we're living really, really, really high on the hog. So there's going to be a lot of questions that need to be answered, and there's going to be a lot of manipulation. MLB is going to have to get creative with contracts and contract negotiations and the players' union, because they're going to have to figure out this deferred money stuff, because teams, like, I think it's bad now with only certain teams being able to compete. It's going to come down to just like three teams are going to be able to do anything, if that. I mean, if you're going to be talking about payrolls where, you know, you got a guy who ain't even playing, he's sitting at home, you know, with his dog, making $68 million a year, and he ain't even on your team. He's not even on your team, and you got to have 25 other players, and if they're making an average of $25 million a year, or not even say that, make him $10 million a year. $250 million. That's your payroll. That's your payroll. $250 million is your starting point. Because there's no way if you have a 25-man roster that you know, five of those players aren't going to be superstars or commanding big salaries. So, man, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be real interesting to see how that all shakes out. But we're shaking out on time here. And this might be the last episode we have until the new year. So if it is, happy new year, happy holidays, and Santa's squeezing down the chimney in Dodger blue this year, apparently. See what happens with the Yankees and the Red Sox going into the new year. Again, we hope everyone listening has a great Christmas, a great holiday, and a great new year, and we will talk to you in the new year. For now, I'm John Senecal, and this has been Fanbase, the deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.